AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
Adam?
Yes, hello.
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 This is a very long time ago, and I know you won't remember.
Oh.
Okay.
But ooh.
It's a numbers game.
It is a numbers game. But in 1999, my first radio gig was with you on Triple J. I filled in one morning. I remember putting the headphones on and going, wow, that felt really natural. That felt really like it was meant to be. This is a weird feeling. I wasn't that good at it. But because of you, now, what's that, 19, 20, whatever years later.
So you're the person we blame, Adam.
Well, there's a lot of people I met back in the late 90s who described those encounters in terms of, I put headphones on, it didn't feel natural, but then it felt good. This is one of the few that took place in a radio studio, and it's great to be reunited after all these years.
Oh, it was lovely. I was part of Triple J Raw, and someone couldn't fill in. You're in Brisbane, so I came straight from a party, straight into the studio. I was terrible at it. All I did was laugh the whole time at what you said, and we had a great time.
I have great affection for the Triple J Raw Comedy Competition. They still run it these days. Undiscovered comedians from around Australia. My big break was I went in the very first one. I was doing a PhD in pure mathematics at Sydney Uni, or as I like to say, hello, ladies. And my girlfriend at the time enrolled me in the very first ever Raw. The standard was abysmal, and so I ended up winning it. And Triple J said, do you want to come and work with us? And no disrespect to the idea of being a full-time maths academic for the rest of my life, but it wasn't that hard a choice to make.
Thank God for that.
But you've still been able to continue on. As you say, you have a wonderful radio career, also television, but still writing books on numbers. So this is something like that will blow Bridge's brain. She has, like, she's good at English. I like numbers, but she has no idea
I can't
with numbers.
Do it, yeah, unfortunately.
Neither do I.
Yeah, look, it's always been a passion of mine. And these books, I put out one a year. Half of it is mathematics, and this year there's a lot of puzzles and riddles and that sort of stuff. But the other half is just bizarre numerical trivia. Just awesome things about our world that you can explain in numbers that you don't need a mathematical bone in your body to understand. So I try and get it out to both, you know, people who love maths and people who don't. I just think numbers are beautiful. They're a great way to describe the world, to tell stories, to try and work out how things are going. But just the history of bizarre things to do with numbers also makes just, you know, fascinating reading.
Adam, I've got to ask you this, AJ here. When maths and French were on, I was in woodwork, so that explains my intelligence a lot. However, in the last few years of my life, I've got very involved with thoroughbred horses, which has led me to having a bet. So I want to ask you this question. I'm not sure if you're interested in horses, but have you ever delved into the betting side of things? Because people that are good with maths and numbers are very good at winning on the races and casinos.
Yeah, card counting.
Yeah, I've not done much of it myself, but I've had mates who were very good at it. When I was doing my honours year in mathematics at uni, one of my best mates was doing his. I was doing it on trying to solve Fermat's last theorem, a massive mathematical theorem from 300 years ago. He was working out different odds on different variations of blackjack. You could play in various casinos. He got snapped up by one of Australia's largest completely legal gambling syndicates and still crunches the odds for them. The weird thing about the horses is I know people who have made, and I don't, you know, don't do it unless you really know what you're doing, but I know people who've made money off the horses who've got no idea about horse flesh and bloodlines, etc. They simply crunch the numbers and they think this horse is worth about 5 to 1. If you offer me better than that, I'll put money on it. I won't win every single time. But if I'm constantly betting at better odds than I should be getting, over time, I'll make some of my, you know, I'll make a return on my money. Yeah. Some people say that there's a zone where if you know what you're doing, you can turn gambling into investing. That's the idea of counting cards, which, you know, casinos don't like you doing. But if it's just random cards coming out of the deck, you're at their mercy. But if you know there haven't been aces and kings for a long time, then for a while that deck will run hot. Now, it's a real skill, and don't just go and do it, you know, haven't watched it on TV or YouTube for a couple of seconds. But certainly there are some people who are not gamblers. They would say they are investors.
So that's why I've been AJ and I know of gentlemen who are multimillionaires because of algorithms. So what other professions, and this is to help kids really concentrate in maths because I couldn't.
Yeah.
What other professions are out there, like the normal kind of nerdy ones, that mathematics is so good for and actually can earn you the big bucks?
Yeah, look, the reality is this century will be built by mathematicians. Us mathematicians have suffered a couple of thousand years of being the brainy guys who got the atomic wedges and our heads flushed down the toilet and all that kind of stuff. But you look at it now, the world of big data, of statistics, of analysis. The kid, when I went home in my day from high school and played on my Commodore 64, you know, I did that. That was my shameful secret. But these days, if you're the kid who, when there's an assignment at school and everyone else writes it out by hand or paints a poster and you design an app, you are the coolest kid in the school all of a sudden. The digital revolution means that we need kids who can write computer code, kids who can crunch data, kids who are great at calculations. And the other thing that maths gives you, and this is why in this year's book I put a lot of problems in, it just gives you that ability to solve problems and learn new things. The kids who are in high school now will end up having some jobs that don't exist now, that no one can even imagine what they are.
Wow.
They'll need the ability three or four times in their working lives to just take a completely new gig on and learn how to learn it. Maths is awesome for that.
Now, you know, when you have children, you hopefully they pick up something of yours. And, you know, my young fella, Boston, he's got good footy skills, but he also enjoys maths. Mm. And he picked up from his mum reading, which I hate. So he loves reading and maths. Is this book something that is good for, he's 10, for juniors as well?
Yeah. Some of the maths in there, especially for smart kids around 12 or 13, they start getting the maths big time. But, mate, read him some of the stories there. I'll let him read some of the stories about the history of numbers. If he loves his sport, he'll see everyone these days doing the high five, right?
Yeah.
I've managed to trace back and find the birth of the high five in this book. In 1977, in the American Major League Baseball, there's these two great mates who play for the Dodgers. One of them hits a home run, runs around at the plate. His mate's there going good on him, sort of punching him on the shoulder. Very next pitch, his best mate hits the home run, his first home run ever. This guy's a big, tall, hulking athlete. As he runs around towards the final plate, his mate's out there sort of waving at him, going, good on him, good on him. They sort of get there to each other, and the tall guy sort of awkwardly slaps the shorter guy's waving hand. That becomes their little celebration. Each time one of them takes a catch or does a great little run out at second base or anything like that, they slap each other's hand like that. Everyone starts copying, and the high five is born. So the high five was officially born on the 2nd of October, 1977. It just turned 40.
Wow. Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, high five.
Oh, hey, I want to know just quickly to wrap up, when it comes to numbers and you're all things numbers, does that mean that you believe in the woo-woo side of things, like numerology, where you put all the numbers together and it all means something in some year and something?
No, it is my passionate understanding of mathematics that makes me realise that sort of stuff is complete bunkum. What you're doing with all that sort of stuff and horoscopes and everything is, if I throw at you 50 predictions or descriptions or something, four of them will really hit home. Yeah, you're right, I do like bald men. Or, yeah, you're right, I am left-handed. You remember those four, you forget the other 46. And it's that sort of, we call it confirmation bias. You want to believe it, you want to see it, and it's there. I don't mean to crush you with that bridge, but mathematics, mathematics will give you a lot of great skills in life, but it will not let you add up your birthday and your grandmother's age and work out if you're going to win the lottery.
You're just logical, Dr. Spock.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote, Peter Everett loves Sheree Orchard, and it come out at 88%.
But
remember, Spider, how we used to do that. So what was her name?
Sheree
Orchard.
Yeah, so you would have started with Peter loves Sheree. You would have got a certain mark. You would have then gone, Peter Everett loves Sheree. Peter loves Sheree. Peter, and then you put middle names in and you just keep going until you get something above 50.
Exactly.
Adam, this is where the big voiced announcer goes. It's called The Numbers Game. As the blurb says, Australia's funniest mathematician is back with a brand new book of number puzzles and trivia. We wish you all the best with The Numbers Game on the back of Big Book of Numbers, World of Numbers, Time Machine 2016. That came out. And now I next year would like to do your fifth book, The Melbourne Cup Numbers by Adam Spencer.
This is where the other deep voice announcer dives in and reminds you, you can get that book from adamspencer.com.au, that website again, adamspencer.com.au, if you'd like a signed copy, or in good bookstores everywhere.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.